Good morning. It is Thursday, May the 11th, and it is the KRFY Morning Show. I am one of your hosts, Jack, and across from me is Jim. Hello, Jim.
Good morning, Jack. Beautiful morning, isn't it?
A beautiful morning.
Did you pedal in?
I didn't. I thought about it, but I got to run to the post office after this.
Gotcha.
So I have a package. Mm-hmm. But I would have, and I would have enjoyed it a great deal.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lovely day.
It is. We have, it's not just a lovely day, but like a lovely weekend. Mother's Day coming up. Should be very nice.
Time to get dirt underneath one's fingernails if you mm-hmm. haven't done it yet.
We have, I'm just going to jump right into the weather because we have two separate guests today. Two guest things. What do you call it? We have more than two guests probably, but we have at least two guests. We have Megan Mize.
Yay,
the recently,
Megan.
Recently deafened Megan Mize. She is here in the room. She's the director of the West Bonner County Library District. She's our first guest. And then from Into the Woods at 8:30, we have, what are they called? The Lake Ponderay Rep.
Lake Ponderay, yes. Repertory Theater.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I guess I'm taking you by surprise there.
Yeah, and explain that deafened. We were explaining to Megan about how to adjust the things on her headphones, and all of a sudden you hit some buttons over on the master control, and now we're going to litigation, and, oh, golly. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here. Let's do the weather.
Okay, here we go. Today it is sunny in the high, currently forecast by the National Weather Service to be 73 degrees Fahrenheit.
Heaven.
Mostly clear tonight. The low is 47 degrees. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 79.
Ooh.
And clear on Friday night with a low of 51. On Saturday, a high of 83 and sunny with a low of 53 on Saturday night. And on Sunday, a high of 83 with a low of 54 on Sunday night. I will even go out to Monday where it says the high is 85 and sunny.
Stop.
Yeah,
No higher. How about you, Megan? Are you like that? You know, stop like in the low to mid 80s?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's livable. Any moisture in the forecast?
Not until like the middle of next week. Now, I've been watching the weather the last couple days. They keep adjusting what they think the highs and lows are going to be, but they have been consistent with saying it's going to be sunny and clear this weekend. So I think we can trust that much of it anyway.
Let's go mm-hmm. through. And I didn't mean to throw Mother's Day and dirty fingernails together. Of course, my mother would say, Jim, go wash your hands. They're filthy. But while we're at it, I do have a report from my sister and brother-in-law in Arlington, Virginia. As we oftentimes marvel at technology, they have this little tube in the kitchen called Alexa, and they say, Alexa, 88.5 KRFY. And so the weather forecast in D.C. area, 64 now, high of 82 expected, pleasant, sunny day, and the key phrase, with not much humidity.
That's nice.
Because it can be killer there in the summer months. Why, Megan's nodding her head. Have you had a firsthand experience?
Not in D.C., but my husband's from the South, so I have experienced humidity, and it's nasty.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's one of the things. I moved to Montana from Nebraska and then to here, and I learned that life can be well-lived without humidity.
I would agree.
I agree.
Yeah. We all agree, so let's agree with the library.
Yes. Megan is here from the West Bonner County Library District. In particular, we can talk about all sorts of library-related things, but in particular, coming up at the West Bonner County Library in Priest River next Friday, the grand opening, nationwide opening,
ta-da!
A moving exhibit from the Smithsonian Institution. It will be in West Bonner County until July 1st, if I'm reading that correctly. And the exhibit is called Spark, Examining the Ingenuity and Tenacity of Rural America. I don't know, beyond the title and that catchphrase, I don't know that much about it. What can you tell us about this exhibit?
Well, this is a brand new exhibit. Mm. It's Spark places of innovation. So it's specifically about innovation in rural communities, whether it be technological, invention, humanities, art. This is brand new. We were able to see a few panels in Boise last October when we went down to train on the exhibit and get all the ins and outs of how museums on Main Street work. And it's my gist of it is basically these are stories that have been captured by communities around the country about how they've had to innovate their space in order to make their town vital again.
Can you talk about, this is the first place it's going to be shown anywhere in the contiguous 48. How did Priest River get that plum?
Well, so Idaho is the first to get it in the country. There are three other states. They do four states a year, and those go over the course of several months. Idaho will actually end March of next year, so it's in the state for quite a while. Once our exhibit opens, Michigan opens about a week later, and I think Kentucky about the same time, and I can't recall what the fourth state is. Mm-hmm. And so about a year ago, an email came through our all-state library listserv, and it was from the Idaho Humanities Council. So it's the Humanities Council of each state that brings these exhibits to the area. And it's not necessarily libraries. It's us and NAMPA are the only libraries in the state that are actually receiving this. It's going to land development corporations, museums, other places in Idaho. So if you're a nonprofit and you have the required space, you can apply for this. And so, kind of skipping back, we passed a bond levy a number of years ago. I can't even recall really when it was. And we were required to collect that money before we could start to build. And so we had finished collecting our money right about the time that COVID hit. And we were able to start construction October of 2020, which doubled the square footage at the West Bonner Library. And let me tell you, it's been a field of dreams. Build it and they will come. It's really fun. It's turned the library. This new expansion has really brought new life into the community and into the library. We're really, really fortunate. And so just reading through the requirements for the exhibit, required 700 square feet, required doors that could lock. In all areas, it required a security system outside of it, and it just read like our brand new community room.
Checking off every box.
And so I called my program manager into my office and said, hey, what do you think? And she said, let's do it. And so what it requires is a pretty large grant process to where you have to meet the requirements of why you deserve to have it. Sure. You know, what innovation has happened in your community. And then you also have to contribute to this project in some way. It comes with a $1,500 grant from the Humanities Council that helps you to offset some of the costs of how you're going to contribute your place of innovation to this exhibit itself. And so we wrote a pretty spectacular grant, I guess. And we got a phone call from Doug at the Humanities Council. He's their grant manager. And he said, hey, I'd like to come and see the Priest River Library. And so he came in on a beautiful sunny day like today, and we walked him through the library and had a good conversation. And, you know, he didn't say anything about, oh, well, you got it, you know, or anything like that. But he said, how'd you feel about being number one? Do you think you could handle that? And we said, whoa, absolutely, we could handle that. And he goes, well, I'm off to Kellogg. I've got to see their location, and I'll be letting the top six know here next week. And so we felt pretty good about it, even though, you know, he didn't tell us for sure that we got it. And so about a week later, the list came out and we were number one. So yeah, we had a little bit of a party, and I don't think we accomplished much other work that day because we were so excited.
So in other words, there was number, you know, one that you got the exhibit to come to Priest River, but number two, you're going to be the number one.
Yes.
And did you know that, or when you were applying for the grant, the possibility that you Priest River would be the number one location throughout the entire contiguous 48 states down here?
I don't really recall thinking about that. I knew it was going to go to Mission in Kentucky as well, but I didn't know we were going to be the first ones to get it. And so, yeah, there might be a little bit of we're number one boasting going around. I'm not going to lie.
So when does this exhibit open? On the 22nd?
No. It opens the morning of the 20th at 10 a.m. So
that's a Saturday.
That's next Saturday, yes.
Oh, wow. Yep. Okay.
So technically, next Friday night, we are allowed by the Smithsonian to have a big opening reception. And the library is located down on Main Street, which there's a lot of confusion in Priest River because you drive down Highway 2. And if you're coming from the Spokane area, most people take a left onto Highway 57 and head up to the lake and don't even really think much about Priest River. There's kind of a joke in town. Well, it's not really a joke. It's a joke to us that live there, but that the Mitchell's grocery store is downtown Priest River. And no. If you're coming from Sandpoint, there's kind of a flat area of the highway as you come into Priest River. And right as you start to go up the hill, downtown is to your left. That's Main Street. That's historical downtown.
And that's where the big flower shop with all the hanging baskets that I drool over whenever I go by. But that downtown section, have you ever been to the downtown section?
I've walked around there a little bit. I don't remember why.
It is impressive.
Yeah. It's very cool.
The flavor of Old Town Priest River. So you take a left as you're heading west.
Yep.
And how far down do you go?
Well, if you go past the flower shop, about two blocks, that's going to be Main Street. And the first building that you're going to come to is the historic Beardmore, which also coincidentally turns 100 years old this weekend or next weekend.
Whoa.
And so they take up an entire city block. And then there's a four-way cross section of Main and High, which we would consider basically the central hub of downtown. And the library is about three doors down from that. But next to the Beardmore, and I don't even know what the square footage of the Beardmore is, but we're just shy of 8,000 square feet. So we are probably the largest building downtown now with the new expansion.
And there's going to be an opening reception a week from tomorrow.
Yes.
May 19th, 6 to 9 p.m., 118 Main Street, live music, food vendors, custom swag, wine, beer, and more for Smithsonian Museums on Main Street exhibition. And then what? Will the library be open at that time?
Yes.
So people can go into the library who attend this this opening.
Yes.
And who is invited to this opening?
Everybody.
Everybody and Sandpointians?
Yeah, Sandpointians, Bonner's Ferry people, anybody that wants to see it. It's going to be pretty exciting. We have a local brewer in town, and he's going to be brewing up some special beer, and we've got our wine bar that's next door to the library, and they're going to be pouring a really nice wine out of Washington that they support. About 10% of their profits, 10 or 15, goes to literacy.
Perfect.
So we're really excited about finding these people. And we've had custom glasses made. So if you get a glass and a drink, then you have something to commemorate the event. The ribbon cutting will be at 6, and the exhibit will be open at that point in time for you to walk through. We will have a docent there. However, this is the largest exhibit Smithsonian has ever done. They have many others called Crossroads, or Priest River had The Way We Worked back in 2011. And so this has augmented reality. It has things that you can manipulate. I believe they might be part of invention. Again, I haven't seen it, so I don't know everything about it. They have lots of ways that you can learn more and dive deeper into these stories, hear secondary stories if you would like to. And so I really feel like it's probably going to take a person a good hour to really absorb. It's 6 units. I believe they are all four-sided. So they have 4 different stories. I believe it's over 30 communities that are represented. And they also are up to 7 feet tall. So we're expecting, wow. Speaking of DC weather, our crates left DC this morning, and there are 10 of them, and they are all 6 feet tall. We're guaranteed they're going to come in the doorway, so let's get our fingers crossed on that one. But we should be receiving the exhibit on Monday.
How exciting. Now, what are the hours? Okay, if somebody cannot make the opening reception, starting on Monday the 22nd,
yeah.
What are the Bonner County, West County Library, the hours of the library where people can stop by?
So the library is open Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 to 5, Tuesday, Thursday, 10 to 7, and okay. Saturday, 10 to 2. And we are required to have the exhibit open all hours that the library is open. So you can stop by anytime. We do suggest if you want to bring a group, because we do have school children who are going to travel down and see the exhibit, that you give us a call and schedule that. So that way we can make sure that you have, you know, yeah.
Do you have a phone number for that?
Absolutely. 208-448-2207.
Can you one more time, a little bit slower?
208-448-2207.
I imagine at this time of year, there are many classroom teachers who are looking for field trip, you know, mm-hmm. To take students out because they're probably antsy and anxious to hit. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful opportunity. I was just looking here at the description. It says that through photographs, hands-on interactives, objects, and videos, Spark reveals the leaders, challenges, successes, and future of innovation in each of the featured towns in the exhibit. So it's not going to be a passive sort of thing. I take it it's interactive, which is just wonderful.
Yes. And our portion of this, which we feel is very, very special and we feel the community is really going to love, is what my program manager, Krista, and I are calling our legacy project. And when I'm done here today, I'm actually going to go and install that because we need to get it done. We have chosen through extensive research with the Library of Congress, the University of Idaho Archives. We have a wonderful local historian named Marilyn Cork. She wrote for the Priest River Times for many, many years. And we have collected, and of course, first and foremost, we have worked very closely with the Kalispell tribe. This is their land. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to honor them in the Legacy Project. And they have given us photographs that take up a third of our collection. And we actually had them in yesterday and talking to us about each picture, what each of them meant. I can't remember the pronunciation now, but they have a beautiful word for Priest River, which doesn't mean Priest River. It means the place where the cattails are. So when they would come down from their normal spot where they lived, they would come kind of where the mud hole is now. If you're familiar with Priest River, it's right as you come into town. It's the park that's there as you go over the Priest River Bridge. So they used to come down and camp there, and they innovated the canoe, the snub-nosed canoe. So that's part of, you know, a huge innovation of that tribe. And they would stay where the cattails are. And so we've worked very closely with them. A third of the project are photographs from the Kalispell tribe. And then Priest River's area, we have the experimental forest. That was a huge part of innovating forestry, what it meant to groom forests, what it meant to revitalize them after fire. We had the stump farmers that came in after the huge fires in the early turn of the century and had to basically dynamite all of those stumps out to make that property from eastern Washington almost to Blue Lake and Priest River viable again. And so we have photos from the Work Progress Administration, and we also have photos of historic downtown right around the turn of the century, last century. So
cool. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. Megan Mize is our guest. She's the director of the West Bonner County Library District, talking about the upcoming Smithsonian exhibit called Spark. What was the full title again?
Spark Places of Innovation.
We actually have a question for Jim. Have you ever been into that library at all?
No, I haven't.
Me neither. I'm excited.
Road trip.
Yeah, I know. I kind of want to go to this grand opening and just to see the library. let alone the exhibit.
Well, it's it's a great a road trip to downtown Priest River. I just love what they've done there in terms of revitalizing that whole area. We are talking about this exhibit. Another thing, do you mind if I read from
the... No, go ahead.
Highlights innovation in rural America from the perspective of the people who lived it. Features stories, images from over 30 communities across the nation. So the... legacy exhibit, will that dovetail into this, Smithsonian exhibit? Will both of them be going at the same time?
Yes. So the community room is kind of a large rectangle, if you can imagine. And on the longest wall of the north side of the room is where there will be 52 photographs that have been enlarged and enhanced. And so those will be permanently in Priest River for the foreseeable future. And so we're going to mount those to the wall so people will be able to walk through the exhibit and then also walk through the Legacy Project and see the innovations of Priest River and the Kalispell Tribe.
Can you talk a little bit more about, we're both familiar with the East Bonner County Library, a little bit more about the West in terms of size, in terms of the community it serves?
Yes, so West Bonner District is Priest River, and then we have a branch in Blanchard. The size of the library has doubled since 2020. We went from 3,600 square feet to over 7,000.
Wow, that's major.
It was, and it's already too small. So we have a very thriving, demographic of little kids. Pandemic babies. There was a lot of talk around do not drink the water in Priest River with all of the mommies that were coming to story time. And I think at one point in time, 2/3 of them were expecting the next child. So we have story time here in 2 hours. We average about 50 people at story time.
Wow.
A week. And so I have a phenomenal children's librarian, and we really love our kiddos and do a lot of great stuff with the kids. My children's librarian is an adult. However, she acts like a giant child. And so that's what they love so much about her. And there's lots of things to get your hands dirty at the library. She's always asking me, oh, can we paint with squirt guns at story time? I'm like, sure, outside. And so we have, and Blanchard, you know, we all know that this area has just exploded over the last couple of years, and people that really couldn't afford to live in Sandpoint or find housing here have come Priest River's way and then in turn come Blanchard's way. Blanchard continues. It's a small rural library on a dirt road, and we continue to see the door count go up every single month. I mean, hundreds of people coming in, hundreds of families coming in. I believe we've grown about 55% in the last 2 years. So it's pretty incredible. We also are part of a 29 library consortium. And so, we share our collection with Coeur d'Alene, with Post Falls, Hayden, all the way to the Montana border. Even Pend'Oreille County in Washington, down to Liberty Lake, St. Mary's, all of that. And so it's a really neat little co-op that we have where we share the collection. If Priest River doesn't have something, maybe Coeur d'Alene has it, you can put it on hold and a courier brings it and you can pick your items up at the Priest River Library or wherever your home library is. And so it's a pretty neat little deal we've got.
That is pretty cool. Is Sandpoint part of that as well?
No. Sandpoint's the only standalone library in the north. There's been kind of some historic separation of East and West County. Library in Sandpoint has a new director named Victor. I speak to him fairly regularly. I spent some time with him last week sharing Smithsonian and some of the various things that are going on. And we've really been working hard to establish communication that really hasn't happened in the last 30 years. Back when Sandpoint District districted into a library. Priest River was a city. And so still Sandpoint has part of my zip code. And so there's a lot of crossover that happens between the two libraries. And so we've just, I'm working on him. It would be a huge undertaking for East Bonner to join. We do sincerely hope that they do, but it would likely roll out over a year or so process because of how massive Sandpoint's collection is and all of that. So we hope so, but it would be a big undertaking.
What do you mean by you use the word standalone?
So they're not part of any system. They have themselves and they have Clark Fork, where the rest of us in all North Idaho, besides Bonner's Ferry, but at the time that the consortium formed, Bonner's Ferry wanted to join, but it doesn't make logistical sense. They would need to have Sandpoint as a hub and then a courier between the two.
Okay.
And so we basically, so every week we handle 1,000 to 1,500 items that come from other libraries. You know, we small libraries, we only have so much money. Sandpoint has 5 times my budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't buy every book. I can't,
right.
I can't afford to buy DVDs. And so, but Coeur d'Alene has a lot of money. Hayden, Post Falls, all of them have a lot of money. And so we just share. So, and we also have libraries of things, ukuleles and literacy kits and crock pots. And you go on and on, rock tumbling kits where you can rock hound your own rocks. And so we share all of those things amongst each other. And we allow our patrons from all over the north side of the state in Pend'Oreille County to have access to everything in the collection. So they literally have access to hundreds of thousands of things.
So physical size doesn't matter.
Nope.
Because you have access to everything.
Absolutely.
Okay. And yeah. And when you talk about standalone library, is that a term used with libraries in larger population centers?
It could be.
You know,
like
I don't know, like Boise or whatever.
Well, Boise is part of a consortium too. A lot of libraries are beginning to do that, where they kind of join in and share.
Mm-hmm.
Just south of we're called the Cooperative Information Network. So we go to St. Mary's. Just south of that, it's called ValNet, which is the Valley Network of Lewiston, Clarkston, and all of that. So, yeah, at the time that we joined the consortium, it wasn't, Sandpoint didn't want to, for various reasons, I believe. But it's, you know, it's been a conversation that I've had with Victor. But, you know, he came into a huge job and is doing an amazing work. He's a great guy. A lot of people really like him. He's brought a really fresh and wonderful new vibe to the Sandpoint Library that I really appreciate. And so, you know, we would love for Sandpoint to join. And if you know, everything falls into place, then they won't be a standalone anymore.
This is a fascinating topic. Like, we could have you in for an hour just to talk about library politics.
And have Victor come in.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh, yeah. Maybe a debate. Is better,
no,
West or
not,
East?
West versus East.
Yeah.
We're here with Macon Mize, director of the West Bonner County Library, and we've been talking about an exhibition. The first in the United States will be held at the Main Street Exhibition, downtown Priest River. The opening reception a week from tomorrow, May 19th, 6 to 9, and the library will be open, and you can see the exhibit called Spark, Places of Innovation.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Jack, but I've got fond memories of the Virginia Tutt branch on Miami Street in South Bend, Indiana. And as a kid, when I was in a library, I just felt like I was everywhere. Possibility. It was warm, friendly people. It was safe. And my mind could go anywhere.
Yep. It's the Southdale branch of the Hennepin County Library for me was the one. But what wonderful libraries.
Yeah. And I cannot, Megan, thank you and all the other librarians for the service that you do in terms of, I measure one of the indicators for me of the health of a community is the library and the services that you provide. Not only, you know, you mentioned children's reading hour, but all the way up to adults and seniors, what you provide. I hope you continue to flourish, and good luck with this exhibit.
Thank you. I hope everybody will come and see it. You know, this is really the only opportunity, unless you drive to Kellogg, that you'll be able to see it while it's in the state of Idaho. It's not even on the list to come to Montana or Washington for another maybe decade. So if you don't get down in the next, you know, before July 1st, then you probably are not going to see it. So please make plans to come and see it while it's in your neighborhood.
And attend the opening exhibition. It's a real treat to see downtown Priest River. And that's a week from tomorrow, 6 to 9 p.m. And thank you so much. And I think we have a future for Victor and Megan coming on to talk about the two libraries.
Yeah. Sure.
Wonderful. We're going to transition. We have another guest coming in, folks from Into the Woods at the Panada Theater this weekend. Mm-hmm. And this was the first song that charted number one for the Beach Boys, and it was released on this date in May 11th, 19. Where were you, Jack? 64.
Wow, that's almost 70 years? How long ago was that? I can't even count.
That's
almost
like,
60
like
years ago.
It is. Yeah. It isn't going to be 60 years ago. Play this song, and everybody can get ready for summer.
Round, round, get around. I get around. Yeah, get around, round.